The players are in the middle of bowl practice, getting ready for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl down in Atlanta, match up with the Florida Gators. We're excited about that. We're going to cover just a little bit of that. We did last week, but we'll touch on that, and we'll talk about what's going on currently in Michigan football. This is In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Just have the opportunity to go out there with my brothers one more time this year. It's going to mean a lot.
I dreamt, you know, my freshman year of being able to go out, you know, my fifth year and just go out with pride.
Finishing out the year on a win, it just is it's a great bookend for everybody, and it springboards, you know, the team that's going to come back for next year.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
This weekend, I was able to catch up after the Michigan Football Awards show on Sunday at the Chrysler Center with Ben Bredesen, offensive lineman, captain of this football team, Shea Patterson, and this year's MVP, Chase Winovich. We'll have those interviews coming up, but before we get there, one of our segments that we've been doing over the course of this football season, I'm going to bring in Brian Bush. We get a little 7 from 77 today.
We do, John, and first things first, you mentioned that award ceremony, one that you emceed. I want you to take fans through your weekend because it was an interesting one, wasn't it?
It was. I was all set up to watch Big Ten basketball. There was, I think, 10 games on Saturday. Had the recorder going. I had everything all set up for a nice, relaxing Saturday afternoon. Army-Navy was playing. I was going to get ready to watch that classic. Then I had the phone ring. And it was Mr. Dave Abloff, good friend of mine over the last 25 years or so, and SID for Michigan football. And he said, hey, Marty Smith, who's supposed to be our MC, is having a little bit of an issue getting out of the Carolinas because, as Brian, as you know, you guys got a couple inches of snow down there this past weekend. And it was that he couldn't make it. His flight was canceled, wasn't able to get up on Saturday, so they needed somebody to step in on Sunday for the award show. So I took my kids and we hightailed it over to practice, got a chance to watch a little bit of practice, watch the Michigan football Wolverines with their pads on. You know, you get that pad pop, and it doesn't matter what time of the year, it doesn't matter what's going on, but that's just a great feeling in the Al Glick Fieldhouse. So we watched a little bit of practice, and I got the script that they had prepared for Marty Smith and spent most of the evening rewriting it, getting ready for Sunday afternoon. But before Sunday afternoon, I've got an NFL show that I do on Sunday mornings, getting ready for some the barn burner that was the Detroit Lions versus the Arizona Cardinals. And if you need some sleep, you turn on that game and you will fall asleep. It was one of the worst NFL football games I've watched in probably 5 or 6 years. Just not a lot of offense. So I had my NFL show, got over the Chrysler Center, got ready for the football awards show, and I think it went off without a hitch. Brian, I'm pretty proud to say that we were done in an hour and 58 minutes, which is a record from the football bust as we knew it. Now it's a Michigan awards show, and it's a terrific ceremony.
We'll get into the rest of 7 from 77. John, I give you a lot of crap, and that's a key part of this podcast. But there are people in this industry who come from similar backgrounds as John Jansen, and they don't put in the work, and they just rely on the fact that they played the game, and they go through the motions. How much sleep did you get before that? I mean, you busted your tail to get that ready.
I had about a half an hour worth of sleep because, you know what? For me, it's a matter of pride. I'm not going to go out there and do anything, just like when I played football, where I don't put my all into it. It's just how my parents raised me, how I am. Even more than that, it's Michigan football. And one, I was excited to be able to do it, have the opportunity, but it's a chance for us to celebrate our seniors, guys that came back for their final season. Caron Higdon, Chase Winovich, and I could go on down the list, but I wanted to make sure for those guys that it was the ceremony that they deserved because these seniors have had 3 10-win seasons, and that's remarkable. That's a great accomplishment this year. Obviously 10 wins in the regular season, a chance to get that 11th win, being the rare category of teams that got 11. wins during the regular season or during the college football year. So I wanted to make sure that it was done well for the seniors because they've given so much, and their families. This is a chance for the families to celebrate what their kids have done and for us to be able to thank the families for the sacrifices and allowing their kids to come to Ann Arbor and spend a couple of years in Michigan football.
Well, mad respect, because like I said, not a lot of people would do what you did to put that into it. I give you a lot of flack throughout the season, but that's really impressive. And I'm using this capital because we're going to have a 10-second game with bowl games later, which I'll probably need all of that goodwill. But I did want to say that Michigan fans, you're really lucky to have this guy. All right, number two, you mentioned some of the things from that ceremony. What stood out to you? What were the things that you really appreciated about that event? And probably more importantly, who was honored?
Well, it was the... What I take away from that, and I do every year, the class that the kids have, the type of kid that Jim Harbaugh has recruited, the way that he runs his football program, and there was, when we announced the award winners for, you know, defensive lineman of the year or offensive lineman of the year, or, you know, there were, I think, 15, 16 different awards, and when the kids would come up, after I would introduce the coach or I would introduce whoever was presenting the award, and the kids would come up and I would had a chance at that time to ask them one or two questions. And each kid that came up is well-spoken. Their answers are well thought out. And this is a pressure situation because they're on stage and it's probably the first time, or at least one in a long time, where, you know, you look out and you're in Chrysler and the way the lights were, it was done extremely well, but you can't see anything in front of you. And you know that your friends are in front of you. So if you mess up or if you trip coming up on the stage, you know they're going to let you hear it. But the kids did a great job, and I'm always impressed with how they handle themselves in public situations where Michigan football players will always be measured. What they say will be repeated. What they do will be watched. And these kids know that, they understand it, and they handle the responsibility they've been given with tremendous class.
Number three on today's 7 from 77. There was something along these lines when you played, right?
Yeah, we had the football bust, and it used to be held at the Laurel Manor. It's always been one of those, you know, they used to come in and everybody would sit down and get a meal, and then we would go through, you know, interviewing the coach, and the athletic director gets up. The president, Mark Schlissel, has always made it a point to be there. But it is, like I said, it was well done. It was well operated. And Dave Abloff, who I mentioned already, did a tremendous job of putting all of it together.
Number four on today's 7 from 77, John, I'd like your thoughts on the Jim Harbaugh to the NFL rumors and, more importantly, his emphatic denial of those rumors.
Well, I've got a couple of takes on that. And the first is, when you've got a guy like Jim Harbaugh that has been successful at the FCS level, he's been successful at the collegiate level, he's been successful in the NFL. With what he did at Stanford, what he's doing here at Michigan, there's always going to be high demand because he continues to put out good football teams. He's shown that he can build a program and continue to improve, as you saw this year. You also saw when he's with the San Francisco 49ers that 3 out of 4 years, he went to the NFC Championship game. That's unheard of for a guy to have so much success at the NFL level and the collegiate level. So anytime a job opens up, like you see in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy or in Cleveland with Hugh Jackson at this time of the year, and there's going to be more that open up, Jim Harbaugh's name is going to be thrown around. Now, his response to that makes me real proud to have him as our coach and to have him as a Michigan Wolverine, because he talked about how he's got big plans for Michigan. And you can see those plans taking shape. The way that he guides these young men, the men that he brings to the University of Michigan, to this football program, to Ann Arbor, to represent Michigan, these are the highest standards of, in my opinion, of anybody in college football. And he holds those kids to it. He expects so much out of them. So when you have a coach that is in high demand, but he keeps telling everybody as many times as he can, I'm not going anywhere. This is where I want to be. It makes me real proud to be a Michigan Wolverine.
Yeah, it's really exciting. All right, number five, Kyler Murray takes home the Heisman Trophy. What would your top three on the Heisman ballot look like if you had a vote?
Well, I said this last week, and I'll stand by it because it ended up being right. I don't have a vote, but if I did, I would have voted for Kyler Murray as the top selection for this year's Heisman. And I did that because of everything that he is to Oklahoma, to that offense, to that team. And this isn't not a most valuable player award, but it is the most outstanding football player in the country in 2018. He proved that with his arm. He proved that with his legs, running for almost 900 yards. There's a lot of good running backs in this country that only end up getting about 900 yards in a season. He did it as a quarterback. And he has this ability when he is running around in the backfield to keep his eyes downfield and make that decision, even at the last second, of when to throw it, where to throw it. He's accurate. Or when to tuck it and run it. And so many big plays that he had this football season revolved around that decision. And this is an interesting kid as well, because he was drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft and signed a $5.5 million contract with the Oakland Athletics. So the decision that Kyler Murray has to make is, do I play baseball? Do I play football? Do I come back for another year? Do I enter the NFL draft? I mean, this kid has the world in the palm of his hand because he has so many different options. And when you get an athlete as special as him, it's a lot of fun to watch. Number two for me was Tua Tagovailoa. And I think when you look at what he did this year, he had great numbers. Didn't play a lot in the fourth quarters because Alabama was so efficient, he didn't need to. They're trying to save him for the end of the year. And then he gets dinged up in the SEC championship game. Jalen Hurts comes in at that point, and the offense, shoot, it almost looked better with Jalen Hurts in there. And I think people forget that Jalen Hurts was 26-2 as a starter. But he comes in and moves that Alabama offense down. They win the SEC championship, get to the bid to the playoffs. And I think the voters felt, because this offense is so efficient and because Coach Locksley, the offensive coordinator who's going to end up at Maryland next year, and we're going to get a chance to see him, the offense that he was running with Tua and with Jalen Hurts was so efficient that most people thought anybody could have played that position and had really good numbers. So he was probably docked a little bit just because he played for Alabama. And you can call it, you know, getting tired of hearing about Alabama or whatever you want, but I think he was dinged for that. And then number three, Dwayne Haskins. I don't need to tell Wolverine fans what this guy can do. He is in my opinion the most likely to succeed at the next level in the NFL amongst those guys. He's got a very good arm. He's accurate. He's got good pocket awareness. He's got enough athletic ability to move around and make plays outside the pocket. But he is 6'3". He's a bigger kid. And I think he's got the best tools to go to the next level and use them to be successful.
Number six, John, there's a lot that happens in college football outside of games. You mentioned a few of the storylines, but give me something else that really piqued your interest over the last week nationally in college football.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question because there's so much that goes on, and I touched on it a little bit. I'm really intrigued by the hiring of Mike Locksley at Maryland, because they've got a program. DJ Durkin was there, and we know why he was released, and it's unfortunate that the whole situation happened, but he did do a good job of recruiting, so there's a good base of talent there. Now you take a coach like Mike Locksley, who was the offensive coordinator for Alabama. He came to Alabama 3 years ago as a analyst, was promoted to co-coordinator, and then this year was the offensive coordinator. When you watch Alabama, we've always talked about their defense, or we've talked about their running game. And yes, Tua Tagovailoa is a good quarterback. So is Jalen Hurts. Mike Locksley changed that offense. And now we're talking about this explosive offense at Alabama, which none of us want to be talking about because they're again in the college football playoffs. But taking him and putting him in College Park, I think is a great move because he was there for 10 years. As an assistant coach under a number of head coaches, he's got a lot of inroads to recruiting that area. That is a hotbed of talent. They call it the DMV, but it's the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. A lot of talent comes out of that area. If he can get some of that talent to stay locally and go to school at Maryland, I think he's going to have a huge impact in the Big Ten East. And another thing that I've talked about over the last week that I think is going to be real intriguing is Tua has to go back to Alabama. He's not eligible for the draft yet. Jalen Hurts has already talked about transferring. Does Locksley take Jalen Hurts from Alabama as a grad transfer with him to Maryland? And I think that'll be very interesting to see, you know, how that plays out, who he gets as his quarterback. Does he take Jalen Hurts? And if he does, you know, how it changes the Big Ten East and the competition between Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Michigan, and then you've got obviously Indiana, Rutgers, and Maryland. So it'll be interesting to see with that new style of offense, another style coming into the Big Ten, and what type of talent he can recruit at Maryland.
Rutgers, it's going to be really tough for them to compete in the East at any point. But I think if Maryland gets this higher right or some higher down the road with where it's at, the Under Armour factor, stuff like that, Maryland can, I think, one day be a factor in this division.
I think they can. I think for the next few years, they're still going to be battling for fifth place, sure, maybe fourth place from year to year in the near future. But if Mike Locksley can keep some of that talent locally, and he recruited Sean Merriman and a couple of other guys that were local guys to stay at Maryland and play. And so he's got the ability to be an excellent recruiter.
And finally on 7 from 77, it's finals week upon the University of Michigan students and their student athletes. Give me a good John Jansen final story, an exam you were worried about, or you showed up 1 minute before the exam started. Give me something.
Come on, man. You know, I just like now, I prepared and there was, it went off without a hitch. You know, I will say this. I don't really have a great story to share with the folks, but when you go through college and you graduate college, and this is a message to, you know, I know some of the guys listen to it, that piece of paper that you get, there's so much meaning in that, that it's not just that you got the grades, but it's that you can manage your time. You can prioritize. You can do all the things that future employers look at in terms of, is this guy hireable? If you can manage being a Michigan football player, they already know there's a level of excellence that you are going to bring to their company or whatever position you are trying to attain. But they also know that managing that along with being a student and graduating and preparing for finals in the middle of bowl preparation or spring football, there's a lot of different times of the year where there's a lot of demand put on not just football players, but student athletes all across college athletics. But the ability to manage your time, to continue to stay focused, is really, and I can say it helped me out this week. This weekend is a great example of, you know, having some shows to have to do, continuing to prepare and do my job at the university and step in as the MC. It was a lot of fun and it just, college prepares you in so many different ways. And these kids that leave early, I understand why they do. I'm hoping that in the realm of basketball, that we can get some of these kids to stick around just a couple more years and just instead of being just the one and done guys, because there's so much about the college experience that will help you at some point in your life.
Hear, hear, no doubt. All right, John, you had a chance to catch up with a few members of the University of Michigan football team at that banquet Sunday night. There's some good interviews, aren't there?
There are, and Shea Patterson had a terrific season. We'll get a chance to hear not just about this season, but the whole year that he had from being hurt at Ole Miss to transferring to battling with the NCAA, then becoming eligible. He does a great job of talking to us and telling us his story. Ben Bredesen gives us a breakdown of the football season and where the offensive line is at and where it's going. And Chase Winovich, love talking to Chase. He's such a great guy and well-spoken. And in the middle of the Chase Winovich interview, I had a chance to talk to his parents as well. So enjoy the next few minutes, and I'll catch up with you guys after these interviews. Shea Patterson joins us on In the Trenches. Shea, this is it's been a heck of a year, but it's the first time I've had you on In the Trenches. How I don't know how I avoided you all season long.
Maybe I avoided you. I don't know. I was scared of you. I thought you were going to sack me or something out of the corner.
My job was to protect you, and it still is. But when you think back to the last 365 days, the highs and lows, how do you put into words what you went through this past year?
It's pretty crazy. You know, I wish I would my mind would have been in the right state when I was up on that stage to really explain it. But just, you know, this time last year, I was, you know, sitting on my bed watching TV with a cast, full leg cast, not knowing what my future was gonna be like. And you know, it's just crazy how much your life can change in a year. And you know, I couldn't have been more fortunate to land a spot here in Ann Arbor and to have so much support by the alumni and Coach Harbaugh and you know, Matt Dudek, who recruited me, and just everybody believing in me and welcoming me in.
Now, when was it after last year? You said at this time of the year your leg was in a cast. When did you actually start running again?
Not till late January, early February, is when I could, you know, take the brace off and start jogging. But I wasn't really 100% till, you know, after spring ball.
And at that time too, you're also not just trying to rehab and recover from an injury, but you're also in the midst of trying to get approved by the NCAA to be eligible here at Michigan. What were some of the challenges, without going into too much detail, that you had just throughout the winter semester last year?
The weather. No, just waking up every day not knowing if I was going to be able to play.
When they did give you permission that you were going to be eligible this year, what was that phone call like?
I think my heart stopped for a while because I wasn't really sure what the answer was. My dad just told me to go talk to Elizabeth over at Compliance, and you know, as soon as she gave me the news right before the Paris trip, I kind of, you know, broke down a little bit just because, you know, it just meant so much to me.
And then, you know, coming in, it wasn't a given that you were going to be the starting quarterback. Just talk a little bit about the competition at that position and what that group of guys means to you, having gone through this season together.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, ever since high school I've had to, you know, beat somebody out or got beaten out. So, you know, that's just the nature of this game. But that's the first thing Coach Harbaugh told me when he came to visit me in Oxford. I said, nothing's going to be given to you. You know, I'm not going to give you the starting job right now. You're not the starting quarterback. You got to go in there and earn it. And it was tough, you know, going through all that other stuff and then having to, you know, really hone in and lock in because we had, you know, two or three really good quarterbacks that could start here. And, you know, I was just fortunate enough to, you know, for them to believe in me.
What was the feeling like the first time, whether it was at practice or even when you go out to run out of the tunnel? What was it like the first time you put on the winged helmet?
Well, the first time it was funny because my jersey was way too big, so the sleeves were coming down like Peyton Manning. But just putting that helmet on for the first time was crazy. And then going through the tunnel and hitting that M Club banner was just is unreal. I can't even remember. That's how crazy it was.
Every week it seemed like the coaches were giving you more and more in the offensive playbook. What was it like to try and absorb all of that, being your first year in the Jim Harbaugh, Pep Hamilton, you know, Ed Warner offense?
It was tough. It was tough coming from, you know, Ole Miss had a good offense, but it was, you know, a lot less detailed and a lot less complex. But I think just buying in as soon as I got here with Coach Pep and understanding that we have a lot of, you know, veteran coaches who have had a lot of success. So they've taught me not only, you know, the playbook, but just a lot more about football that enhanced my play.
When you look back over this, the 10-win stretch that you guys had, what was maybe your highlight of this football season?
Man, that's tough. It was a very fun season. And I think it just flew by. You know, it flies by when you're – obviously the first game didn't go, you know, as planned, but it helped us. But when you're winning, it just flew by so fast, and it was so much fun. But the highlight –
I'll go this direction. All right, coming out of the Notre Dame game, obviously we've talked about the season didn't start the way any of us wanted to. You guys were then able to put together a 10-win stretch. What was it in the locker room, on the field, that gave you guys the confidence that this could still be a special season after a tough loss against Notre Dame?
You know, we knew we were a talented group coming in, and there's been so many talented groups in the past. We just believed in ourselves and, you know, didn't let one loss affect the rest of the season. You know, that was our mindset, just take each game, you know, one at a time. you know, just taking that sour taste that we had the first week and using it as momentum going forward was fun.
What would 11 wins mean to you?
It would mean a lot. Not too many teams have done it. It would just mean a lot to end the season, on a good note, especially with all these seniors, send them off on a good note, and just go out there, just have the opportunity to go out there with my brothers one more time this year. It's gonna mean a lot.
When you really got this offense running, I mean, you had weapons like Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, the tight end, Sean McCune, Zach Gentry, running backs, Caron Higdon, Chris Evans. I mean, you had weapons all around you. What were some of the challenges in being able to distribute the football the way that you did?
Coming here, I had a lot of talk about how we had no weapons on offense and we were only a defensive team. And I got here and I'm looking at Zach Gentry, looking at Nico Collins, looking at Tariq Block, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Caron Higdon in the O-line we had. I'm like, you guys have no clue what you're talking about. And, after the first couple practices in the spring, I knew we were going to be good.
Well, I appreciate you joining me here, and we look forward to a great bowl game down in Florida, against Florida, in Atlanta.
I'm excited for it.
Captain Ben Bredesen joins me on In the Trenches. Ben, we just got done with the 2018 Michigan Football Awards show. What were some of the memories that you have from this football season?
This has been probably the most fun football season I've ever had in my entire life. Just being around the guys, it's just a great group of people, the coaching staff, players, staff. It makes coming in and working with everybody every day so enjoyable, and you get to see that with us on Saturdays when we went out and played, and we were just having a great time.
Going into the bowl game, that this will be the last time that this team, this group of players, will be together. What's it mean for you to be able to send some of these fifth-year guys or guys without any more eligibility out with a win?
Yeah, it's the most important thing right now. Finishing out the year on a win, it just is it's a great bookend for everybody, and it springboards the team that's going to come back for next year. It'll springboard us into next year. But really, the guys have done so much for this program, and they've really taken a lot of heat. And as Michigan is climbing again, sometimes they don't always get the recognition that they deserve for going through the tough times and clawing their way out of it. It'd be a great recognition day for them.
And, if you get the win, I think Coach today said that an 11-win season would be the 10th time that it's happened in the history of Michigan. What would it mean for you guys to put your stamp on Michigan history with that 11th win?
Yeah, we just want to be remembered as one of the great teams. I think talent-wise we're up there and definitely should be in the picture. But, obviously it's a production, it's a results business. So for us to get that 11th win and just – make sure everything is settled there. It'd be huge for us and huge for the program.
When you declared, I think it was last week, that you're coming back for your senior year, what went into making that decision for you?
I talked about it a little bit with my family, but it really wasn't that hard. I love Michigan. I love this place. I just want to do whatever I can for this program for the years to come. And, I just had such a great time with this team this year. I can't wait to do it again next year.
Is this bowl game, is this more of an exclamation point for this season, or is it a look ahead to 2019?
Yeah, I think it definitely doubles as that. We want to put our stamp on the 2018 season, but, winning this game will just it'll give us the motivation and send us into the 2019 season, confident. Ranked high for the preseason, and I think it'll be just an absolutely it'll be a huge bonus for us going into next year.
What's the benefit of getting these extra bowl practices? What does it mean for you guys as an offensive line? What will you be working on and individually?
Yeah, for an O-line, it's huge for us. Usually you're trying to cram a season's worth of blitz tapes and all their different looks into 2 or 3 days. Now we get to slow down, spread it out, make sure that we have every single look that they could throw at us covered in a couple different ways. Individually, it allows you to, A, get some rest before you start practicing again, get your body fixed up as much as you can, and then, you know, you get 2 or 3 weeks of practice where, you know, you don't have a game that Saturday, so you got some time to work on some individual work that you need to get done, and then bring it all together. And once you work that with the offensive line with this extra time, usually you play pretty well in bowl games.
Have you had a chance to take a look at much Florida film so far?
Yeah, we watched them. Fast group, especially on the outside rushers. You know, it's going to present some challenges for us, but you know, we've been challenged all year, so it'll be a good game, but we're really looking forward to it.
When you look back at the season and the job that the offensive line did, you know, going into the season it was a question mark, and I think by the end of the year it was one of those position groups where you could really have a lot of confidence that you guys were going to play at a high level. Was there a game, was there a moment where you just looked at it and said, yeah, this is a good offensive line?
Yeah, I really think it was the Wisconsin game. You know, when we put 320 rushing yards on them, I think that was the first time where we you know, really believed that we were that good. And, you know, before, you know, we knew it was possible and we were doing it week in and week out. And we were just focusing on, you know, keeping that momentum up. But I think once that game hit, we understood how good we could be and just kept trying to reach that again.
And we talked about Thanksgiving. You were on for the Thanksgiving edition, and we talked about the pies and the food and all of that. I know you guys are going to be in Atlanta. Is there anything that you're going to do as an offensive line, or do you know what yet Christmas Day looks like?
I have no idea what it looks like. I heard some rumors there might be a big Christmas dinner going on put on by the Peach Bowl. So, you know, we're looking forward to that, obviously, as an O-line. And, I mean, we eat all our meals together anyway, so Christmas dinner is going to be no different.
What will it be like to have a holiday like Christmas? You know, we talk about family a lot, but, you know, the Michigan family is special in and of itself. What will it be like to spend Christmas just with the Michigan family?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be... I mean, it's my first Christmas away from home. I think it's just about everybody else's. But, you know, you spend so much time with everybody. I mean, you know how it is, especially at a place like Michigan where you're with the best people day in and day out. You know, if I'm not going to be with my family, this is the group I'd want to be with.
Well, thanks for spending some time with me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Chase Winovich joins us again on In the Trenches. Chase, we just finished the 2018 Michigan Football Awards show. You were able to come away with a few Shemmies. What does it mean to be named MVP and also Defensive Lineman of the Year?
Admittedly, it's definitely cooler after they named it the Shemmy. But I'd like to say thank you for having me on the show again. I don't know how many more times I'll be up here. You know, on the show as a student or, you know, as a player. But, yeah, it was a great honor. And, I mean, it just kind of gave me the distinction, you know, that I felt like myself and my, you know, the people around me and support of me have worked so hard for. It's great to be recognized for those efforts, but there's just so many players in this team that could have earned those honors. And, yeah, so I'm just honored.
I don't think there'd be anybody that would argue the fact that part of the reason that you received those honors was because you are such a hard worker, and it showed in the weight room, it showed on the practice field, and it showed on every snap of every game. What gives you that drive?
I'd say that's like, you know, there's so many things that go into, you know, my mindset, and people ask me, like, how, you know, how do you consistently perform and, you know, just go out there and give your best? And this has been, you know, a multi-year effort going back to, you know, my freshman year and even high school. And I'd say it's one part genetics. You know, I'm blessed with, you know, great parents. You know, my mom, I always call her and say she's like a thoroughbred workhorse. And, you know, for my dad, he found out about, like, the comments I made about my mom. And he asked what that, you know, makes him. Does that make him, like, a donkey? Or, you know, so it's kind of funny. Just, you know, it's a little tidbit. But I'd say really, you know, that my parents are, like, you know, just really hardworking people. And I'm so lucky to have great role models, like, you know, like my dad and my grandparents and my family members around me, my brother. But for me, it's like my mindset is going back to, you know, my freshman year of high school, and I was going out to open gym. My brother goes to me and he says they could take anything away from you. They could take away, you know, your size, your speed, your intelligence, or anything. He said, but the one thing he said you can never let them take away is, you know, how hard you work. And so that's what it all comes down to, in my opinion.
And we're here in the studio at Chrysler, and your parents are here, and I'm going to see if I can ask them a few questions as well. Mom, are you all right with me asking you a few questions? When you see Chase on the field this year and everything he accomplished, you see him win the MVP award for this football team, what's going through your mind?
Well, most of the time I have my eyes closed. I'm hoping he doesn't get hurt. And I'm just so grateful for the University of Michigan for recruiting him here. And he's going to get a fine education, or he got a fine education. And I'm so proud. He worked so hard. I think of all the tears and all the sweat that he's put into this.
Dad, I'll ask you the same question. When you see your son out there and you see the way that he plays the game of football and you see him recognized in an event like this, how does that resonate with you?
Being from Pittsburgh, you could see why the people have the love, the everyday love that they have for this school and all the people and wins or losses. All the Michigan people, from fans to the players, are just a class above all others. And I've really gained appreciation over the 5 years. It's been a wonderful experience. And from the bottom of our hearts, we've loved every second of our time here at Michigan. And from yourself, John Jansen, and all the coaches, and just a first-class operation. Can't say that enough.
Well, you'll always be a member of the Michigan family from here on out. And Chase, when you look at your future, you're done with the eligibility. I want to ask you two questions. So first, what does it mean when this season is over to you, and the feeling that you have that, and I have this feeling myself, and I want to hear your take on it. What does it mean to know that you're not going to be able to dress up in the maize and blue again?
It is what it is. People, I think, get bummed out about it. And, maybe I get emotional about it, sometimes just thinking about it. And you stir up a lot of nostalgia. But for me, I'd say it's a great honor. I dreamt, my freshman year of being able to go out, my fifth year, and just go out with pride and knowing that, Michigan's set up for, more successes in the future and just overall in a better place. So for me, it doesn't really bother me as much as I'm gleaming with pride. It is a great experience, and everything has been so special here that wouldn't change anything for the world. And I'm happy to exit the way I am.
How excited are you for the next phase? Preparing for the NFL draft and draft day itself.
Yeah, the thing about the future is that it's bright, and the stars of the future, they shine bright. But you got to be careful, because with anything too bright, you got to be careful. That's really at the end of the day what it comes down to, because you could get blinded by those, you can get distracted and get up and get caught up in things that deviate from your goals, and so you're constantly just staying focused and refocusing and just making sure that you're attacking this and giving it everything you have every single day. And that same process is going to carry me through the next set of dreams that I have, and even more future aspirations.
What's your plan for preparation for the combine?
I plan to go out to California, work out until the Senior Bowl, go there and show them what Michigan football players are all about, and then head to the combine in the end of February, and just dominate that, and then from there, come back here, train for pro day, work out with coaches, and hopefully see myself selected in the first round of the draft in 2019.
Well, I'm going to give you a hell yeah on that one. I'm excited to see in the Senior Bowl, and I'm excited to see what your future holds. It's going to be a lot of fun, and this will not be the last time, because wherever you go, I'll tend to pop up from time to time. So I look forward to talking to you in the future.
I look forward to talking to you as well, and I'm hopefully you could track me down. So I know you have my number. I'm sure we can make something happen.
Sounds good. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks to Ben, Shay, and Chase for stopping by and sharing their memories of the college football season, the memories of the award show, and a congratulations to Chase Winovich for winning the MVP of this year's Michigan Football Wolverines. Brian, we've got a little fun segment, don't we? We got a little 10-second for, what is it, 39, 40 bowl games?
Yeah, we've got 39 games to pick here, John. We figured we'd do it quickly, and this has been such a big hit. And quite frankly, it puts you in an uncomfortable spot. You have 10 seconds, and that's it, to give us your thoughts on each bowl game. We'll go in order of dates, starting with the New Mexico Bowl, December 15th, North Texas and Utah State, John.
Ooh, the Mean Green from North Texas. Mason Fine at quarterback. I'm not sure who's going to win this game. Utah State had a great football season, played Michigan State tough.
They did. Wonder if Walter White will be there. All right, Cure Bowl, December 15th. Do you know that reference, John? Are you a Breaking Bad guy?
No, I am not. I am not a Breaking Bad. I watched it for a few episodes. It just didn't catch me.
That's one of the most shocking things I've ever heard from you. Wow. You're not perfect, John.
Far from it.
So you need a cure. The Cure Bowl, Louisiana and Tulane.
Tulane. We went from the Mean Green to the Green Wave. I'm going to pick Tulane in this bowl for no other reason than one of my teammates, Patrick Ramsey, number one pick from the Washington Redskins.
All right, Las Vegas Bowl, Arizona State and Fresno State.
Oh, Herm Edwards. Give me some grass and I can coach. Love his one-liners in the press conferences, so I'm going with Arizona State in this game.
Ah, nailed it. Third time's the charm. Camellia Bowl, our friends in Ypsilanti, Eastern Michigan against Georgia Southern.
Wow, I tell you what. Georgia Southern plays the option, but Eastern Michigan, they're in a bowl game. They've got a lot of energy. I'm taking Eastern Michigan because I want the local team to win.
Chris Creighton, he's really good. I think he's going to be on the radar of some Power 5 schools down the road. New Orleans Bowl, App State, Middle Tennessee State. Good mid-major matchup.
Ooh, this was a tough one. I'm going to have to take App State. They took Penn State to the wire. There's so many people there at IMG that work for or went to App State. Can't go against them.
All right. A couple of conference champions, Boca Raton, UAB, and Northern Illinois.
Ooh, I'm going to take Northern Illinois on this one. They've got a great tradition of excellence in the MAC and had a great year. I'm taking Northern Illinois.
Sutton Smith, really good player defensively for them. Frisco Bowl down in Texas, Ohio University, San Diego State.
Ooh, San Diego, one of my favorite cities to visit. I'm going to take San Diego State, and I don't think the Ohio Bobcats, especially because they're from Ohio.
Shocked that would be your rationale for that one. I look forward to your prediction in a couple of times with some of the other Ohio schools. All right, Marshall and South Florida in the Gasparilla Bowl. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, you missed the best part. It's the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. Mm. I'm going to take I'll take USF in this. Is that Charlie Strong down there?
It is. They went from 7-0 to 7-5, so they're red hot.
on a rise.
Bahamas Bowl. This might be the best location for any bowl. Not the best bowl matchup, but Florida International taking on Toledo.
Oh, I'll take Toledo. FIU, I don't think I can ever pick Lane Kiffin just because it's Lane Kiffin.
It's the wrong school, John. They're at Florida Atlantic. You didn't even make a bowl.
FAU, FIU, I mean, there's only two letters that matter in there. You pick which two.
Ah, boy. Order's important with that, too.
Order is.
All right. The Idaho Potato Bowl. Going north for the bowl game for the former rowers of the boat. Western Michigan against BYU.
Wow, Tanner Mangum, still at BYU. I think he's 35 years old. But Zach Wilson, the quarterback, they beat Wisconsin early in the season. They do the same thing to Western Michigan.
I think that could have been your secret to playing like 10 years of college football. If you didn't want to go to Michigan, you could have gone to BYU. I think you still might be playing.
Yeah, well, I could be, but then I'd have to spend 2 years where I didn't even get to watch college football. I don't think I'd be able to handle that.
I don't know if you could do it for 2 weeks. All right, Birmingham Bowl, Wake Forest versus Memphis.
Ooh, Memphis. I tell you what, they've got one of the most exciting running backs, Darrell Henderson. He may run for 400 yards in this game.
A bold prediction there. All right. Army versus Houston. Boy, that Army-Navy game is always great. A heck of a season for the Black Knights. They get Houston on December 22nd. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Army, with the offense that they run, it's ball control. We saw what they did against Oklahoma early in the season. Only two losses. One of those was Oklahoma. I'm taking Army.
The Dollar General Bowl, Buffalo versus Troy. A couple of the good mid-majors matching up.
Ooh, I tell you what, this is a tough one. I'm going to take Troy in this matchup. No particular reason.
Admire the honesty.
I got nothing on that one.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. Hawaii Bowl. Hawaii, I think it's a prerequisite that they make it as long as they go 6-6 or better. They get Louisiana Tech. Who you got?
Ooh, well, they got UH has Nick Rolovich as their coach. I'm gonna he's done extremely well. I think I'll take Hawaii in this one.
The only school that wants to stay in its city for its bowl game, Hawaii. All right, after Christmas, December 26th, the First Responder Bowl. Boston College, Boise State.
Ooh, I tell you what, Boise State has a quarterback that you're going to have to watch in the draft. He may rise up a few draft boards. Brett Rippon. He's got a great arm and is very accurate.
Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit. Oh, PJ Fleck. You going to get a Christmas dinner with PJ?
No. I don't. First of all, I can't dress as snazzy as him. And second of all, I don't think he can sit down that long. Can he sit down for a whole dinner?
If it's elite.
If. Yes, here we go.
All right, a little more than 10 seconds, but all right. Minnesota, Georgia Tech, go.
Well, I tell you what, PJ Fleck, I'm going to have to go with the Big Ten in this one. Georgia Tech, you know, letting their coach go or he's stepping down. Too much turmoil going on right there. Minnesota, Golden Gophers.
Weird transition to go from the triple option to not. That'll be an interesting deal for Georgia Tech. All right, the Cheez-It Bowl. What a great name. Are you a Cheez-It guy?
I am not a Cheez-It guy. I'm not a snack. I know everybody thinks I eat all the time, but I'm not much of a snack guy.
I just think it's because when you snack, it's what most other people think of as a meal.
Yeah, it could be. You've got, you know, five or six different meals in the day, so you could call some of them a snack.
Five or six, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, you got your breakfast, you got your brunch, you got your lunch, you got your after-school meal, you got your dinner, and then you got your before-bedtime meal.
Last night, what was your before-bed meal?
Oh, my before-bed meal? Oh, I had myself a little French dip.
Wow. Man, John
Jansen.
A
little roast beef sandwich. Woo. A little au jus.
How about that? All right, California, TCU.
Cal and TCU. TCU, they're going to have a couple of transfers out of school. I think their quarterback just transferred, but I'm going to take TCU. They're the only team in the Big 12 that seems to play a little bit of defense.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Independence Bowl, December 27th. Duke versus Temple. No Zion for Duke.
Ooh, Duke versus Temple. I'm going to Temple, I think they just lost their coach too, so I'm taking Duke. Plenty of time to spare. How about that?
Felt
like a lot longer.
I was about to say, I checked the system here. It was exactly 10 seconds. All right, your boy Jonathan Taylor in Wisconsin, a rematch of last year's Orange Bowl against Miami in the Pinstripe Bowl, a little different weather conditions.
Yeah, I tell you what, two teams with extremely high expectations, both ranked in the top 15 going into this year. Miami, great front seven. Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor, I'll take a big offensive line and a great running back anytime.
Yeah, I will say that might be the disappointment bowl, right? Whoever loses that is the most disappointing team, maybe in college football.
Yeah, I mean, next to Auburn, those two teams going into this season, boy, they had high expectations and just did not come through it. And then they end up in the Bronx.
Mm. North for a bowl game, not ideal. Although I think Wisconsin goes slightly south, so good for them. Texas Bowl, Baylor, Vanderbilt, a couple of 6-6 teams.
Well, my hat's off to Baylor. They've had so many issues going on there to even be in a bowl game this year, but I don't think they win. I think Vandy takes this one. Kashawn Vaughn, running back for Vanderbilt.
There you go. Music City Bowl, Nashville, the aforementioned Auburn Tigers against Purdue.
Well, Jeff Brohm, just my hat's off to him for staying at Purdue. They gave him a new contract. He's got a lot going. Rondale Moore, watch this guy. Possible 2019 Heisman Trophy candidate.
Camping World, Syracuse, West Virginia, a couple of ranked teams.
Mm-hmm. West Virginia will not have Will Grier as a starting quarterback. He's taken some time off to prepare for the NFL. Dino Babers, that Syracuse Orangeman, they're going to be fighting their way, clawing it, taking Syracuse.
Alamo Bowl, the Cougs, the Cyclones, Washington State, Iowa State.
Gardner Minshew had one of the great seasons for a quarterback. I'm going to take Washington State out of the Pac-12 and hope to get some Mike Leach audio afterwards.
Yes. Boy, Minshew, if he would have been able to play with Washington, I think he would have been in New York as the fourth finalist.
I agree with you. I think he had – his numbers were unbelievable and efficient too.
Yeah. Belk Bowl, Virginia and South Carolina.
Virginia. Virginia played extremely well. Jake Bentley, I really like him. Watching him play, he's got a great – he just got a great feel for the field.
The Arizona Bowl, December 29th, Arkansas State and Nevada. I'll be impressed if you got anything on this one.
The Wolfpack? That's about all I got is knowing the mascots of one of the teams. But I don't really care who wins this game.
Arkansas State, I have to Google to confirm. I believe it's the Red Wolves. Does that sound right?
Red Wolves. The Red Wolves against the Wolfpack.
Ooh, that's an intriguing matchup.
Yeah. I'd rather watch that matchup than Arkansas State and Nevada.
just a pack of Red Wolves against every other color of wolf. That'd be great. All right.
Yes.
Military Bowl, December the 31st, Cincinnati and Virginia Tech.
Wow, I'll tell you what. Luke Fickell has done a great job at Cincinnati. They're so much improved, 10-2 this year. I'm going to take Cincinnati in this game.
Thoughts on Virginia Tech scheduling that 12th game? Were you for it or against it?
I was for it. I mean, if you get an opportunity for these kids to play that extra game, I'm all for it. They get every opportunity they should to be on the field and show what they can do.
Sun Bowl, beautiful El Paso, Pitt and Stanford.
Maybe Bryce Love has been waiting for the bowl game to actually show up. I doubt it. Pitt, unbelievable season. Played Clemson in the ACC championship, just not enough to get it done.
Red Box Bowl, Oregon and Michigan State. I have a crazy gut feeling. I know who you're picking here.
Well, Oregon has one of the best quarterbacks, maybe the number one quarterback taken in this year's NFL draft. I'm going to take Oregon and Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I figured that was the shade of green you'd go with. Liberty Bowl, Mizzou and Oklahoma State. He's a man.
They may score 100 points in this ball game. It is one of those games where there'll be absolutely no defense played. I'll take Oklahoma State Cowboys.
All right. Holiday Bowl, a couple of conference runner-up teams, Northwestern and Utah.
I really love what Pat Fitzgerald has going at Northwestern. There's been talk about him possibly going to Green Bay. I don't see it happening. He continually improves the Big Ten West.
Do you think he would do well in the NFL?
I don't know. You know, he only had a cup of coffee as a player, and the NFL is such a different game. If he's going to go somewhere, I think Green Bay would be a great fit because it's the most college-like atmosphere that you're going to have. But you still, when you go in to the locker room as a college coach, you are the highest paid guy. There's just respect that's given. When you go into the locker room as an NFL coach, you've got to earn that respect, which you do at every level. But you have to understand that you're going to be probably the seventh or eighth highest paid guy in the room.
That's a fair point. Gator Bowl, NC State, Texas A&M.
I tell you what, I think Texas A&M, what they've got going with the new staff out there, we saw them against LSU put together, 7 hours of football? Texas A&M.
All right. To the January 1st games, Outback Bowl, Iowa and Mississippi State.
Kurt Ferentz, he's going to be down a couple of players that aren't playing in the bowl game. But if you can run the ball, if you can control the ball, if you can play defense like Iowa does, Iowa will win this game.
Penn State, Kentucky, another Big Ten versus SEC matchup.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I like Trace McSorley. I think he's a terrific football player. Kentucky had a season that they haven't had in a long time. I can't remember the name of their running back, but he is an outstanding player. I'll take Kentucky in this game.
Wow, that might be my biggest surprise of all your picks here. I think Kentucky peaked early.
They may have, and we'll see. You know, you get a month to prepare for it. We'll see what they've got.
Yeah. All right, on to the New Year's Six games. We'll save Michigan and Florida for last. So for the non-playoff games, Fiesta Bowl, January 1st, UCF, LSU.
So I feel so bad for Mackenzie Milton. Yeah. 2 years, undefeated. The quarterback of UCF will not be able to play in the bowl game due to an injury. I'll take LSU in this game.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting if Milton played. I think they'd have a chance to get another SEC team, but it's going to be a tough assignment. Rose Bowl, Buckeyes, Huskies.
Huskies. Huskies. Huskies. Huskies.
John Jansen setting a new career high for most words said during an Ohio State-related 10-second game.
Ugh.
Well, hey, we got some Sugar Bowl talk. We'll sweeten you up a little bit. Georgia and Texas.
I like this. This is my favorite matchup. You've got Texas, who's up and coming. Georgia, who was playing for a possible national title last year. I'll take Georgia in this game.
Okay, cool. Hook them. Playoffs. Cotton Bowl. 2 versus 3, Clemson, Notre Dame.
I don't think there's any way Notre Dame can match up with Clemson. They've got four guys up front that are going to be playing on Sundays next year. When you look at what they can do offensively, Etienne, their running back, extremely good.
The other national semifinal down in the Orange Bowl, Alabama and Oklahoma.
Great matchup. Everybody was given two of the Heisman halfway through the season. Kyler Murray said, no, I'm taking it. Will he be able to do that in this national championship matchup? I don't think so.
But if they do, wow.
That would be awesome. That's going to be a great, that's going to be a terrific football game.
Yeah, it's going to be offensive, that's for sure. And finally, we'll get you out. The final bowl game, the most important bowl game for Michigan fans. Wolverines, Florida Gators, December 29th. Go for it, JJ.
Well, I think you're going to watch this Michigan team go down there and prove something. They want to get to that 11-win season. They want to finish in the top five of the national rankings. They are going to get that done at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl against the Florida Gators.
I'm really proud of you that you stayed pretty close to 10 seconds there. I'll give you more. Get us to the end here, John. Finish us off. We give you more than 10 seconds. Screw the buzzer.
Yeah! What you got to look for in this bowl game is a Michigan team that is upset. This season didn't end the way that it was supposed to. It was a season where we had a 10-win stretch, and there's a bad taste in our mouth. And there's no way to get that out unless you get to go hit somebody in the mouth. Chase Winovich is going to be running all over the field. You're going to have Shea Patterson throwing the ball over the field to Nico Collins and Donovan Peoples-Jones. You're handing the ball off. You have Chris Evans in the running game. It's going to be one of those games that you come out of, much like we did in this, was it the Citrus Bowl, where we beat Florida? Nobody gave us a chance. We opened up last year in Arlington, and the SEC and Jim McElwain were coming to show the Big Ten what the SEC was all about. Not going to happen, and it's not going to happen December 29 in Atlanta. Michigan all the way. And we're going to have more breakdown as we get closer to the game of this matchup on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. In the Trenches with John Jansen is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.